You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, welcome to Myopia. We are watching another Muppet movie this week, as it is Muppet Month, and we're trying to pick some ones that are weird. This is one that is weird. We watched Muppets in Space, which is a Gonzo-themed one, kinda. I also don't know how to classify it, because it doesn't feel like a regular Muppet movie. As you'll see in a second, they don't even sing their own songs. However, there is some interesting stuff here. You know, Kermit's not the main character, for one. It's a Muppet movie, so people just show up, but this one has kind of this air of it being kind of an X-Files-y thing. I had avoided it for a long time, honestly, because I thought one of the things about the Muppets you should never acknowledge is how weird they are, and you're acknowledging how weird they are, so I don't know what to make of that. However, here we are. So stay tuned and enjoy a weird one, Muppets in Space.
In a world where podcasters talk about the same old pop culture topics, two heroes must rise to bring forth a new era of podcast entertainment. The Cigar Nerds Podcast. Movie reviews, pop culture debates, news, science, and even beer reviews. We're stranger than Stranger Things and funnier than an evil sewer clown. CigarNerdPodcast.com.
We all smoke down here, Georgie.
Hey, man.
Welcome to Myopia Defender Childhood. This week, Thomas still didn't fucking show up, and we're doing another Muppet movie. We picked one out of the gutter and did Muppets in Space, 1999's answer to the X-Files in Muppet form. I'm Nick Hobbit, host of Myopia Defender Childhood and award-winning comedian with Cineprov, and on panel we have...
Hello, this is Daniel, and I believe it's Muppets from Space.
Whatever.
Charlie Rose, an avowed Muppet fan.
Matthew W. Quinn, who writes stuff about far... less friendly aliens.
Sure. Check out his slash fiction when Spock does some stuff.
By which he means E.T., by the way. E.T. is a far less friendly alien than any alien in this movie.
We have a...
Oh my, you guys have some interesting imaginations there. Spock and E.T.
And Muppets.
So... we are 6 seconds into a very weird movie. Cold open! Star wipe onto Noah's Ark.
Oh, yeah.
F. Murray Abraham is telling Gonzo to get the f*** out.
And handing him an umbrella.
Which was one of the more amusing parts of the movie. Yes.
I was completely buffaloed. I was like, what are we... Okay, so let's stop at the beginning. I hadn't seen this movie before. I thought it would be interesting and garbage because one of the things about the Muppets is no one acknowledges that anything's weird about them, right? That Kermit is a talking frog that's about 3.5-4 feet high, and yet he deals with Orson Welles in the first one to get a standard rich and famous contract. Like, it's not weird.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we're acknowledging that Gonzo is kind of an alien, theoretically, to me, should ruin everything, right? Because it breaks the wall in a way that they don't usually do.
I'm going to disagree with you because Gonzo has always been a whatever it is that you are. Mm-hmm. They've always made that a gag from day one that no one knew what Gonzo was.
Right. Frankly, he kind of looked like a vulture to me.
Well, it's the 1996 Atlanta mascot, the What's It?
Oh,
because everyone thought that was a great fucking idea.
Is he?
The living toothpaste tube thingy?
Uncircumcised twice.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember? Remember when TNT had an animated Izzy special?
I sure do.
So do I.
No, I don't, and that's probably for the best.
Yes, it is.
If we could find it, it would have been an episode of Myopia Mornings.
Maybe it's on
Train Wreck was a something.
Could be on YouTube. Everything.
No, it's
YouTube.
Not.
Oh, because
Vimeo.
Nope.
Regardless. I mean, you can keep mentioning dead video sources. Could it be on Pornhub?
Damn it, you sold my joke, Nick.
You know what? It could be on Pornhub.
X-Hamster? I mean, I don't know what you got. On some ancient Napster transfer site. It's Morpheus on, has it on a,
Morpheus has
on
it.
A P2P server.
You know who's got it? Emom's World.
Something awful. It made something awful.
Does it have badgers, too?
Oh of course.
Badger. Regardless. After waking up, by the way, you mentioned it briefly, the best gag, which is that F. Murray Abraham as Noah hands him an umbrella.
Oh, that was great.
No!
I don't want to be alone!
You can do...
That's a serviceable Gonzo.
That's not bad.
Or Starscream.
Jesus. Gonzo, Starscream. Close enough.
Both are undefined.
Megatron!
Kermit has fallen. Muppets rally to me.
Avenge me. Avenge me.
Oh, the Transformers Muppets mashup. You never knew you needed.
You still don't. You definitely still don't need it. All right. So from here, it's been a while. Daniel, give me the plot.
Okay. So Gonzo is trying to figure out who exactly he is because every other Muppet seems to have a family, be it Kermit with his nephew, Robin, or Rizzo with all of his brothers and sisters.
And that's the scene.
Yeah, that's the scene. So he gets a message from space. Well, specifically, he gets a message from these Douglas Adams fish characters who tell him to mow his lawn to contact his people. And it turns out he's an alien. So he's trying to reach out to his family while this MIB-style intelligence agency is trying to find Gonzo and experiment on him.
Smash. Led by Jeffrey Tambor.
I was going to say smash cut to Jeffrey Tambor as K. Edgar Singer.
K. Edgar Singer.
Oh, I know.
Singer, Hoover, yeah. Both vacuums.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah, no, and it's K instead of J. Edgar.
Uh-huh.
It's something, and he's just there in a mule, a
in a cement,
Robert Mueller suit. Like, it's just a well, he's like, yeah. He's
in a cement,
to the team.
In a cement factory with a bear.
Well, and
I love that bear.
That bear was amazing.
Okay, what's his name? Rentro?
Renfro? Rentro? Something like that.
Yeah.
I love that bear.
Well, and then other than that, we just traipse through all the Muppets you can imagine. They introduce a new one, Dr. Phil Van Neuter. The doctor who's going to do brains. I mean...
That's Andy Dick as a Muppet, by the way.
It, yes, 100%. It down to the... At one point, he goes down and goes...
I know, right? Just like he just pulled off of a mirror of Coke.
Well,
I will say, though, how does David Duchovny not do a cameo in this movie? It's 1999. It's
it
not
was
like
a
he
crime.
Was doing anything.
Have
right?
you left the X-Files by this point? Because that might be the reason.
They did The Simpsons in 1997.
Oh, wow.
Right? Like, where they show up, like... Hey, Mulder, it seems that they actually have an alien this time. And she just looks at a... It would be great. She just holds up a picture and just is not worth our time. Like, that's all you need?
Yeah.
He didn't have to have sex with Miss Piggy, which he could have done. We're 3 years away from Californication, man. He would have had sex with Pepe if we asked him. We didn't.
Are you sure?
Well, you're about halfway through the movie with referencing Gonzo's brain sucked out. The movie opens with all the Muppets singing Brick House and just sort of living in the same house together.
Smash cut to the gayest musical entry. Like, I mean,
yeah, I have to admit.
And it's not even like...
I don't know, the Mice Girls kind of saved that from being the gayest thing, although...
It's a bunch of dude Muppets and Miss Piggy and the Mice Girls living in...
Well, the Mice Girls don't live there. They're the poster.
Yeah, their singing career must be going very badly if they all have to live in one house.
Well, we're this close to having like a Walton's Night scene, but they're like, let's liven it up by singing some disco and sashaying down the hallway. This is, which brings us to something Charlie and I were talking about before the show. Dr. Teeth should be singing this whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
If you're gonna do Brick House. It's not great. It's not ideal, but to have him singing it, we just need him teething around.
Yeah.
He says one word in this movie, which is bullshit.
Well, and it's a crime because I want like a little Dr. Teeth like mouthing in the bottom, like I'm about to come back. Because the Muppets are what adds character, and there's so many cameos here you should have gotten rid of in favor of more Muppet time. Like,
yeah.
there's a scene later that doesn't matter, so who cares? But Ray Liotta shows up as a security guard who Miss Piggy first loses in an amazing fight sequence, but then charms use.
You'll do what I want you to do, Liotta.
Okay.
Is he the one who she ties up?
No,
that's
the one she sprays the cream on, then falls in love with her. Who forgets everything?
Oh, the guy, yeah. the gate guard.
Yes, that's Ray Liotta. Yeah.
She had her magical love potion. No.
I don't believe I'll be needing it.
That was good.
Yes.
Better.
You need to have a YouTube channel. I've said this before.
You have, and it's not going to happen.
The problem is they see the face. No.
You could do a face, some sort of mafia face disguiser thing.
Oh, I love you, buddy. Here's the thing.
Wait, that was an insult. You insulted me.
I did. Your Miss Piggy was good, though. It was perkier than she was in this movie.
Well, that's how it happens when you hit 40.
When you hit 60.
Good point.
Gross. We're comparing pig age.
So there's dog ears and pig ears?
Yeah. It's really porking this joke. From here, we should talk about what she does, though. She is like the gopher at a TV station that is literally Art Bell's show.
Yeah.
Hosted by a woman who's...
McDowell.
It's Andy McDowell from Groundhog's Day.
Who is, you know, the Art Bell on-air personality. Miss Piggy's the gopher. And
Rob Schneider's her producer.
Oh my God, this
movie is so 90s.
She tries to seduce him and he says no, so she kicks the shit out of him. And never has someone been more beaten, like believably beaten, except for half the cast. In Big Bang Theory, Miss Piggy should just kick the shit of those nerds. I hate Big Bang Theory so much.
Oh, who likes Big Bang Theory?
They had a funny Lord of the Rings joke.
Oh, there we go.
No, they didn't.
And there we have it.
I thought it was funny.
Enough to be renewed for a bunch of seasons.
Young Sheldon is a thing that doesn't cause too many suicides.
I'm wondering why that exists.
Because our parents watch it. Because it's something our parents would watch. I mean, honestly, like, my parents love Big Bang Theory, and I'm just like, are you sure? You taught me to like better comedy than this. They're like, isn't it so great? And I'm like, they don't listen to my podcast.
I just remember when Community came out at the same time as Big Bang Theory, and I'm like trying to direct everybody to Community, but no, it didn't work.
Hey, I was one of those poor bastards who kept watching The Simpsons after The Simpsons was over and saw Arrested Development. Remember when that was something that existed? Oh, yeah.
I remember when it was Futurama and then the PJs would follow it.
Oh, I remember the PJs.
That was a good season and a half of a TV show.
I remember the PJs. They were pretty funny.
They weren't bad.
And then he got arrested for hiring a male prostitute. Oh, well, it was a prostitute.
I thought that was earlier.
No, I thought it was after.
It was beforehand, but whatever. Who cares?
Apparently you guys do. So moving on. Gonzo, after going on the roof looking for several days to try to find this thing, has another interaction with these alien types after getting a telescope out of a box of Captain Crunch or whatever.
That talks to him using questionable CGI.
The most questionable.
Oh, it hasn't like, aged well.
Yeah.
No,
and
yeah.
Cereal.
Thank you, Charlie, buddy. At this point, he straps himself in more aluminum foil than a Weird Al video and traipses himself down to Miss Piggy's studio where he gets interviewed.
Well, before that, what happens is he actually makes contact with these fish creatures that are, I guess, Douglas Adams references, but...
Well, stop yourself there. It's 100% references to everything. This is a very reference-heavy movie.
Yeah. Yes.
And don't forget the jacuzzi.
Oh,
Must build jacuzzi.
So we have.
You sound like Marge Simpson.
I know, it's getting worse. But what I will say is that's only funny to me because that has nothing to do with aliens. It does have to do with the fact that Ray Liotta appears in the second act and he is Shoeless Joe in Field of Dreams. Right? There's no other reason. Because the Close Encounters of the Third Kind reference happens later when someone holds up a mashed potato sculpture of Gonzo's head.
That was great. That was great.
I mean, so the good things about this is the gags were on point. I think that it had the ridiculousness, the absurdity. It had all those delightful points.
But it was a TV movie at the end of the day. This should have been a TV special for the Muppets.
Well, and frankly, it's more of a Zucker Abrams Zucker Muppet movie than anything. Because, like, it's alien parodies. Now, the reason why it's Zucker Abrams Zucker as opposed to Wayans Brothers is that it's actually a movie that holds together, right? But, like, I mean, spoilers to the end of this movie, but when the aliens actually do show up, they come out of the egg from Aliens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it literally opens the same way.
Yeah. Exactly.
It pops, and it goes... Like, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
They even have the Brent Spiner scene from the Independence Day movie, which was only 2 years old at this point.
Yeah. Oh, that was...
I remember that.
And then there's even a tail whipping around.
Exactly.
It's remarkably good. It's actually a very tight parody.
How did Brent Spiner survive to the sequel of that movie?
And how did Brent Spiner not end up in this movie?
Ooh, good question.
Shut up. Oh, come on. Don't look at me like that, Charlie. You know it would have been better.
Okay. You know, this is my get off my lawn moment. Okay. This movie is what I like to call How Millennials Killed the Muppets.
Mm. Oh.
I'm sorry. The plot itself of them trying to explain what Gonzo is and that he is special, even though he is one of a kind, and all that other insanity, I didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. Worst plot ever.
If I may rebuke. No. actually, here's the thing. I don't disagree with you, which is why I think the Jason Segel movie that came out 3 years later, a decade later.
No, this was like, Jason Segel was like 2011.
The one that's just called The Muppets?
Yeah.
Fixes it. The thing is, the Muppets are good characters on their own. This, to me, feels like a series of bits from The Muppet Show.
Yes. No, right? You're absolutely right.
Because, like, there's nothing inherently wrong with it, but it feels more like a parody of parodies rather than who they usually are.
Well, it's got all the elements of a great Muppet movie. It's just when you take this absurd plot out of the space aliens singing funk, you know, you actually have some good bits, but they are a series of bits.
Well, holy shit. Yeah,
it's movie the mothership connection.
Yeah, movie
literally
the mothership connection.
The mothership. It's they go full funk parliament. Oh,
they do go full funk parliament.
Yeah,
a movie
that takes place around now, and yet the entire soundtrack is from disco era.
Well, yeah. But I mean that's not even what bothers me because that's the Muppets gag.
Yeah,
it's just that. There's no teeth to this movie.
I think I know what the problem with this movie is. It's not so much millennials killing the Muppets. What it is Jim Henson had not even been dead for a decade at this point, and they were still struggling to try and replace that. They were still trying to figure out what he would have done with the characters as opposed to taking the characters and trying to make them their own.
I mean, you're not wrong. Let's just catch up the plot. After Piggy interviews Gonzo. Gonzo becomes a smash success. Unfortunately, brings him to the attention of the Concrete Factory G-Men. Right,
and they show up. Hank Kingsley and the Bear.
Well, and some men in black show up,
including, Hollywood Hogan. Mind you,
yes.
Many people know him as Hulk Hogan, but they kept calling him Hollywood.
That's how he's credited, by the way.
Exactly. Was that his name at the time?
Let's be honest. This overweight fat man who has a sex tape where he just scratches his belly, says pork, and farts very loudly is not exactly anything other than an out-of-work actor at this point. So you can call him whatever you want.
Oh, buddy. Boy.
You're fine.
But no, that was his name in the late 90s. He was no longer going by Hulk Hogan. He was going by Hollywood Hogan.
Because he was in movies.
I call him whatever I want?
This is going to get weird.
Except for late for dinner.
Oh.
When he's porking someone's wife. So here's the thing. G-Men show up. Miss Piggy fights them off at the studio. And then we end up in a mad chase. Gonzo gets arrested.
Well, there's that bit beforehand where there's kind of the Q scene, which was one of the best parts of this, where it's Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew giving them all the gadgets they need to infiltrate this base.
James Bond?
Which they
I loved it.
Which they found out about because Miss Piggy captured one of the MIBs and basically tortures him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Animal Catchers captures Kathy Griffith.
tames her with his animal side.
Woman! Woman!
Again, it's a Muppet movie, so people are going to show up, man.
Yeah.
Everyone loves the Muppets. You can't not.
But it's, these cameos were so 90s. Oh, my gosh. I expected Arsenio Hall. That's, I mean, seriously.
Well, that would have worked.
Not?
What?
How did he not?
Well.
What caught me about these cameos.
No, you know what it would have been, honestly? It would have been an episode of Jay Leno where he reads the news, right? Mm-hmm. And it would be like, so you hear this? There's an alien apparently out in Sapan in Poughkeepsie. You know, they have this alien. He's got a blue nose. I don't get it. It's just crazy. Like, that's what it would have been. That would have been the bit. And then you cut away to Bill Clinton playing the saxophone or something going, eh.
You know who would have been a great cameo for this?
Across the scene.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone, if they just randomly showed up.
99? They could have done it.
Yeah, I guess so.
No.
That's close.
Yeah, I think
close.
South Park. The channels, they would have seen it. That's
yeah,
what it
South
would
have been. Park was, I think, came out when I was in middle school. So
it was 97.
Yeah.
I had a sleepover. We watched that first, marathon. My parents didn't know better than.
Oh, yeah.
The one with Cartman having the entire space telescope in his behind.
That's that was the pilot. It's a classic of television.
Well, here's the thing about the cameos in this one, which it's funny you say it's so 90s. Because it would have been great if it was a lot more 90s. If, like, Carson Daly. Keenan and Kel. Carson Daly. I mean, they had Joshua
John
Jackson
Stewart.
And Katie
they
Holmes.
Had David Arquette. How could you be
you
disappointed
can't.
With that?
I wasn't, but at the same time, it's like all these people, I'm feeling like, yeah, you needed the paycheck to be in this movie. With normal Muppet cameos, it's like, oh my God, they actually got this person to be in this movie?
Like
that's
Steve
amazing.
Martin as the waiter in the Muppet movie.
Richard Pryor in the Muppet movie.
Well, what they didn't have is, you know, the other Muppet movies, the previous Muppet movies, pride themselves on having a lot of comedians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see many comedians in this movie.
No. Yeah. And the timing's wrong. Like, and that's kind of the weird thing about the bit with Ray Liotta when they first show up at the alien, like, or at the Area 51, the concrete factory, is that he's a tough guy. I believe him as a tough guy, but then he can't deliver the, like, wow, thanks, guys. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Why, of all the comedians, did they get Rob Schneider?
Cheapest?
Probably.
Well, he is a male gigolo.
Whoa. Rob Schneider's available to do whatever you need. Do you need someone to wash your car? Because Rob Schneider.
I mean, again, he is a male gigolo.
I was going to say, you know. Deuce Bigelow didn't do too hot, so, you know, he's
European
available.
Gigolo was a nightmare. That movie is...
is that a Stay Tuned?
No, because I'd have to watch it again.
Oh, boy.
I got about 20 minutes in. I'm like, that first one didn't even have jokes, and this one is worse than that. So.
I'd rather watch Joe Dirt.
Oh, I
Deuce
love
Bigelow.
There's
I
a new
love
sequel
Joe
on
Dirt.
Crackle where he goes through time.
I just can't.
Does
no.
that surprise you, Charlie?
So you can't even? Is that it?
No, I just can't. That's just...
Dear God. Like, the problem with these movies is that this is barely a movie. Was it a TV movie originally?
No, it wasn't
theaters.
I saw it in theaters when it came out.
It should have been a TV movie.
Yeah, it's right there. And, like, I think the Muppet Wizard of Oz one really was a TV movie.
That one was.
Yeah, I don't remember it being in theaters.
Wasn't Beyoncé in that one? The Muppet Wizard
no,
of Oz?
No, I don't think it was Beyoncé. Was it Rihanna? I need to look now. It was a vaguely popular pop star. I don't think it was Beyoncé, though.
Well, we're about to find out.
We'll edit some of this out.
So,
Ashanti.
Oh.
That's a name I've not heard in a long, long time.
Yeah, that was Ashanti. She used to exist.
She did.
And Jeffrey Tambor shows back up. And Quentin Tarantino.
Wait. Why wasn't he in Muppets from Space?
And David Alan Grier and Queen Latifah. It might even have a better cast than this one.
That is a better cast.
Yeah.
And John Kennedy, who is not a president, maybe?
Like, okay, let me ask you this. What was the...
Please.
Hold up. Okay, so what was the best cameo in Muppets from Space?
I think... Well, never mind, not cameo. I was going to say something else.
Josh Jackson and Katie Holmes.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Pepe
that was kind
hitting
of amusing.
On Katie Holmes pretty hard.
Yeah.
Well...
You're not wrong.
Someone who's actually shorter than Tom Cruise.
Katie Holmes or...
Pepe the King Prawn.
There you go.
I was... Well, Jeffrey Tambor's not a cameo.
That's what I was going to... We'll get to him later, I suppose.
See, the problem is you're trying to think what was good instead of having
a variety of really good ones and having a hard time choosing.
Well, because it's bits, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd say F. Murray Abraham because he plays Noah.
Yeah, that was my favorite, actually.
Because, like, it's not... But it has nothing to do with the plot, which would be fine if the plot went anywhere.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. Well, can I go ahead and just say what the ending is?
Catch us up first, though.
Okay, where the hell are we
so
in this movie?
They got the gadgets. They're getting ready to infiltrate.
Okay, so they infiltrate because Gonzo has been kidnapped by Jeffrey Tambor and whoever that bear is.
And so rather than like what he thinks is just an interview, they're going to like perform an autopsy, right. Alien autopsy.
Oh, while he's still alive.
Rizzo has also been captured by them to get run through mazes by David Arquette. To be a lab rat.
By the way, my favorite bit.
Oh, with the one flew over the cuckoo's nest rats?
Yeah. Yeah, as I say, play it like a prison movie.
Yeah, right. That was good. That's classic.
And a Shawshank Redemption joke, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time with the old rat that has the pet bird.
And the poster with the tunnel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's David Arquette, what he's good at, which is one joke and then leaving forever.
Yes. Yep. So anyway, the rest of the Muppets infiltrate this and free Gonzo and Rizzo, and then they go to the beach where the aliens are supposed to land. They eventually land. They play Cool and the Gang Celebrate and give an opportunity for Gonzo to go home with them. And he says, no, I'll stay here on Earth with the Muppets.
And so they take Jeffrey Tambor.
And so they take, quoting Star Trek.
Constellation Prize.
A Scientologist for a nut job. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
David Arquette's best joke? Marrying Courtney Cox for about 6 weeks.
Ooh.
Hot take from 1997.
You burned.
Yeah, right. Sassy white guys with a podcast. What can I say?
Can we rename this to that? Sassy white guys with a podcast?
Oh, I can't. I just can't. I can't.
You can't even?
I'm just not that naturally sassy. I'm more sarcastic. I'm more of a prick.
we've noticed, Nick.
More of a prick. That's the podcast. More of a prick.
More of a prick than Nick.
That sounds like a 50 Shades of Grey appreciation podcast.
I'm going to let that one sit. That's good.
That's a good one.
We're going to swim in that one for a moment. Okay, so there are little bits and pieces throughout here. I don't want to make it sound like I hate this movie. I thought it was perfectly charming. Brian Henson plays this, Andy Dick as a Muppet, right?
Yeah.
And the guy who's trying to perform this vivisection. Did any of you, 1997, I want to say, Fox had that Alien Autopsy special?
I saw that.
Oh, I saw it.
I saw it too.
Yes.
And that's kind of what they're making fun of. Like, there's just gadgets and gizmos, and he's just like, we're going to suck out your brain. He goes, well, be careful, I need it. Like,
is this covered by my HMO? That was a good bit.
Yeah, $10 copay. Yeah,
$10 copay. And, like, this is why Mulder and Scully needed to just run through, like, the Scooby gang, like they were chasing another alien.
Yes.
Like, at this end, it ends up on a beach near a lighthouse, and if they were chasing Sweetums instead...
Oh, man.
See, that would have been... Oh.
I like this movie so much, but it's completely forgettable. This is your hangover Muppet movie.
Yeah.
There's no emotion. It's just silly.
Well, there's that great bit that everybody's already completely forgotten about with the doctors in the hallway.
The doctor?
Doctor. Doctor.
The spies like us. It's the spies
exactly.
Like us.
Exactly. It is entirely that.
This is the Muppets doing an episode of Family Guy. There's no meat to it.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Because it's
empty calories.
It's empty calories, and they don't even do, like, this is a movie's plot. This is a strung-together plot. This is a Family Guy episode. That being said...
Well, they don't have jokes that go on for 5 minutes too long, though.
I don't know. They played all of Cool and the Gang's entire filmography. So, like, or soundtrack. Like, they did... There's not even, it's not Brick House for a gag. It's Brick House for 3.5 minutes. That to me is where that comes in, right? You'd think someone would just be playing Brick House while they were taking a shower. Or what the normal Muppet gag would be is you would hear ding, 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 ding. Ow, she's a brick. But then they pan to the outside of the bathroom and it's just Kermit singing the song because the music is playing in his head. But actually, it's a whole musical number as though this is 70s, as though it's Muppets Take Manhattan and they're ending on the wedding scene.
Yeah, and
right?
Right.
And there's not really a lot of singing by the Muppets. This is didn't like.
Which is the problem.
Which is the problem, because Muppets and music have to go hand in hand.
This was the first time Dr. Teeth, I think, had spoken since Jim Henson had died. And he says one word. It's funny, the bit that he's in.
Which one is Dr. Teeth?
He's the lead singer of the band that's, brace yourself, mostly Teeth. And he's the one with the doctorate.
Okay, during the scene at the beginning where Kermit's asking Gonzo, hey, weren't you going to perform at that bar mitzvah? And Gonzo's like, no, I got Electric Mayhem to cover for me. And that whole group walks out in the Jewish...
the pious and the hats. And the...
Yeah,
Dr. T's the one that says, Shalom.
Shalom.
Which is awful.
I know.
It's not Dr. T.V.
No.
Yeah. Oy Gewalt.
Right.
And then animals pushing the cannon.
Ah.
Yeah. But... I can't do a good Dr. Teeth, but he in every Muppet movie is the one who sings. Like, even if in Muppet's Christmas Carol, which I guess, stay tuned, it's going to be our... What movie will we be doing for Christmas other than Muppet Christmas Carol?
The Christmas Story?
Muppet.
Ah. Well, there's the bunny suit.
What Muppet movie would we be doing for Christmas other than Muppet Christmas... The Christmas Story. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for showing
which
up.
Which I don't even think exists. Wait. It's a Christmas Story.
Is there a genie, too?
Well... There's a difference between A Christmas Story and The Christmas Story.
I know.
And I can't imagine a Muppet The Christmas Story.
I want to...
God, I lost my Kermit. Why are there so many songs about rainbow? There it goes. Push, Miss Piggy, push. You're going to give birth to the Son of God.
Frog, I was hoping we'd at least get a hotel room in Jerusalem.
Sorry, Miss Piggy, there was no room at the inn.
Okay. But back to the...
Well, so long as I'm the mother of the Son of God.
She would shove Jesus out of the way to have a book. The Book of Piggy.
And scene. Casual blasphemy aside.
Yeah,
right. No, it's Dr. Teeth sings in every Muppet movie. He is literally the lead singer of the Muppet Band.
Yeah. And even in a Muppet Christmas Carol, he's playing in the Fezziwig scene before Animal busts out, but they're playing whatever, O Tannenbaum or something.
Something like that.
My
personal favorite Dr. Teeth scene was Elton John doing Crocodile Rock on the Muppet Show.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes.
But yeah, he has teeth like Giada De Laurentiis, and he just rocks out the whole time. And the thing about the whole thing is, if you look up the Muppets on YouTube, they have a channel that's mildly active. But they do like pictures on the wall. They do Bohemian Rhapsody. They do a lot.
Yeah, no.
And the Bohemian Rhapsody with him doing the third verse.
Yeah. And I mean, in the original Muppet movie, he saves it, frankly, because like I love Rainbow Connection. But that movie stops dead until Mr. Teeth shows up.
Yeah.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem show up. I love them as a gag.
They are amazing.
I don't know. I mean, throughout the rest of this, it's just kind of like a warm blanket. It's not a particularly memorable movie, but there's not a lot of problems with it. Wow. It ends on the beach. Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Well, I just didn't think it was that entertaining. I mean, I didn't think Treasure Island was super good, but I like some of the songs.
Yeah.
But no singing Muppets. I was just disappointed.
Yeah.
That is a legit complaint.
Ween was supposed to write songs for this movie.
That's already a problem. I mean, it's not that I don't like Ween. It's just that it should be Fountains of Wayne. It should be the people who write Stacy's Mom, or They Might Be Giants.
They Might Be Giants would have been good.
Well, I mean, I say Fountains of Wayne, and people don't like, they're like, Stacy's Mom. They're the ones who wrote the songs for That Thing You Do as well. Like, they were nominated for Academy Award for that. Like, they're just tongue-in-cheek. That's what the Muppets are. That's why when the Muppets, the movie in 2011 came out, the fact that they got half a Flight of the Conchords is what works, because that's why they won the Academy Award. Man or a Muppet works because it's perfectly absurd.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's what, and even in A Muppet Christmas Carol, it works because you have the Muppets' emotions within it.
Yeah.
And Matt's right. I mean, that's your final we can get to final judgments, but the fact that the music is not inherently Muppet is a problem. It's right off the bat. And it's a stupid enough plot that you can like really wedge a song in there, which is why I haven't seen Muppet Wizard of Oz, I'll be honest.
Neither have I.
It's a musical already.
Mm-hmm.
If like at least then the Muppets are singing.
I seem to recall the one thing I know about Muppets Wizard of Oz is that the cast of Scrubs showed up. And that was like supposed to be big. That was supposed to be the big deal, which is all that says about that movie.
Wait, so this is 1999 and X-Files doesn't show up then? They can go f*** right off.
Well, I mean, Dawson's Creek shows up.
They do, but like that's my point. If you're going to do stupid TV show cameos in, that one came out in 2003 or 2004.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that in 99? It didn't hurt it. Mm-hmm. What's the worst that could have happened if like Mulder and Scully? Because
it would have worked better if the X-Files had already been canceled at that point.
I mean, you're right, I guess.
And then it would have been an X-Files reunion.
Well, but here's the thing about it all. The Muppets followed the Matt Groening rule of characters, which is just if you see the silhouette, you'd recognize all of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you put it in like a photo negative, you'd recognize Mulder and Scully. Yeah. Right? That's all you need. You don't even need them to say anything. Whatever. Matt, give us your final judgment.
It's just not that entertaining. I mean, there are some amusing bits and lots of film references, but I just didn't think it was that good.
Charlie?
Treasure Island and Christmas Carol was a way to continue the Muppet story in a way that was not... part of canon, if you will. This was a continuation of the Muppet stories, like Kermit's stories, Gonzo's story, Piggy's story. And I think they were just trying too hard to give Gonzo a story that just sort of sucked.
Yeah.
The bits were great. The plot, I think, ruined the movie, in my opinion. The lack of music, I think, took away from it. And all my favorite Muppets were just underserved.
I agree.
So,
Daniel?
This is the equivalent of a Disney movie in the mid-70s, which is at the time their lead creative force had died, and they didn't know what to do. So they were trying to assemble something as best as they could without any sort of guidance, which they got some good bits down, but at the end of the day, compared to some of the other Muppet movies, it just wasn't worthwhile. And I think somebody said this would be a Muppet Hangover movie, which... Yeah, that's probably the best description of this you're going to get. It's not terrible if you watch it. It's not, like, going to make you hate yourself and hate life. But at the end of the day, it's just not something you're going to remember.
I just want to point out before I get in my review. Last week we did Muppets Follow That Bird. I guess Sesame Street Follow That Bird. And Alex Jones was all over that episode. We just talked about aliens for half an hour, and Alex Jones didn't show up but once.
Well, that's because the aliens are a hoax that are invented by the globalist folks. The aliens and UFOs that you see in the sky are just hallucinations caused by the fluoridation that exists in the water. You gotta buy my vitamins on Infowars.com to cure the fluoridation hallucinations that you see. Damn it! Wife, come back to me! Bring my kids back!
I think
my heart just is so good.
I think the prevert bird is all that's left to you now, Mr.
Oh,
Jones.
Christ. Oh, that was so good.
Say hi to the prevert bird for me.
Hi, prevert bird.
I almost wish I hadn't said anything because my brain went completely blank. Here's my thoughts on this movie. It's a Muppet movie, so I'll see it another 100 times. And that's almost it. It's so much wet nothing. At one point, someone said, there's a lot of good bits in here. You're right, but that's why this movie is wrong. The difference between a sketch, a bit, and a gag doesn't mean a lot in a podcast like this, but in a bit means you have an idea that lasts for a couple minutes, right? A sketch is an isolated thing. This is somewhere in between. Like, there's barely a plot. In a Muppet movie, you'd have Fozzie show up and make a shitty joke and then leave. That's a gag. That's what he's for. All the Muppets make gags. This movie isn't even that well structured. Everyone has a bit. Everyone's halfway to doing something, but never quite gets there. They don't know what to do with Miss Piggy. They don't know what... Like, Kermit, the most important, arguably, Muppet, does nothing. He's barely drug along for the ride. The only one who's well-developed, like you said, is the Q scene with Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker. And for me, it's frustrating because if this is what they came out with, I'd rather watch a graded hit of The Muppet Show. I'd rather watch the unreleased Muppets Tonight again because can't get it, right? Just because that at least would feel fresh. Or something like Muppet Babies, which every episode is better put together than this, right? But it's the same idea. There's barely a premise, but then they go off and pretend to be Han Solo or some shit, right? That's the problem. There's nothing that holds this cheese together, man. It's running apart. Fine. I'll still watch it 100 times. I hadn't seen it before. It's just a warm blanket on a soggy day, which... Welcome to Georgia in November and December, guys. That's all we got.
Yeah, we got it coming now.
Girl. So next week, I guess we're watching a coming of age picture.
Coming of age picture. That's a good way to put it.
It's the opposite of what not to wear. Project Funway. I don't know. It's David, the RIPD, David Bowie's coming back to life to teach us a little thing about love. We decided to veer slightly out of Muppets and stick just to Jim Henson, obviously. Since we started with Sesame Street, we went to Muppets. We're going to wind up with My Cocaine. But in between, we're doing Labyrinth, a movie that we've talked about doing forever. And finally, we're going to get a shot at staring at some magnificent crotch bulges. So stay tuned next week and every future week as we put a little piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defender Childhood is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Candace Burns, and executive produced by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. It is produced by Daniel Suttis, Matthew Quinn, and Thomas Kerman. We are a proud member of the ESO Network and a product of Do Better Podcasting. Our theme is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incomptech.com. It is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3 license. And thanks!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.